and thank you for bracing the adverse weather and you are here. Tell your neighbor, thank you for bracing the adverse weather and you are in church. Thank you for taking your relationship with the Lord more seriously than you take your job. Amen. Amen. Last week we were celebrating the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were in essence celebrating God's love. Amen. Did you celebrate God's love upon your life? Just how much he loved us. Amen. So going to John 3:16, King James Version, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Look what the love of the Lord has done for us. We no longer have to perish. We no longer have to go to hell because now we are children of God. Tell your neighbor, I'm thankful for God's love. And thank you, Elder Maluleke, for holding the fort when we were not there and sharing about the power of his resurrection. Do we understand the power of Jesus' resurrection? Do you really understand that that power is at work in you? Huh? Real? And if you understand it, do you know that you are more than an overcomer? Do you know that you are more than a conqueror? So today I want us to share about because of his love. So in other words, I'm what I am because of his love. My life is what it is now because of his love. Some of you should have been dead by now. If it were up to the devil, most of us would not be around today, isn't it? Some of you, you should have long lost your jobs. Some of you, you should have now been paralyzed. Anything that the enemy can do. Some of you, the enemy could have affected your mind adversely, and you're no longer in control of your mind. Do you just see how good the Lord has been to us? That's why I will never get out from under his love. Because it's hot out there. So we need to rather stay right under the blood of Jesus, where the devil can do us no harm. The devil wants to do harm. The devil wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But if you stay with Jesus, you are covered. And this power of his resurrection, let's go to Philippians 3, 10 to 14. I just want to give you this introduction from the power of his resurrection to then experience the love of God in its fullness. And even to have our lives as a living testimony. Some of you, if we were to give you a chance to come and give a testimony, many people would repent just because of your testimony. Some of you, if we give you a chance to give a testimony, many people will be encouraged just because of your testimony. And people start saying, oh, maybe things are not as bad as the devil makes them to be. Have you noticed that the devil will make you worry about a lot of things when there are so many things that God is doing for you and you can't count those blessings? Look at this in Philippians chapter 3, 10 to 14. I will again do what Pastor Josephine did by having two readers. So I'll start with Mr. Mukosi, NIV, Philippians 3, 10 to 14. Because I want you to understand this power of his resurrection. And when we understand that power and understand that that power is in us, that power is available for us to use to walk in victory here on the earth, even though the devil wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Read.
I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death.
I want you to understand that part. We would have thought that Paul already knew the Lord, isn't it? But look at Paul's passion. He says, I want to know Christ. One. Number two, I want to know the power of his resurrection. So if I can understand the power that raised Christ from the dead, when all the evil forces, when the devil and all his cohorts wanted him not to raise from the dead, and still the power of God was so strong that Jesus rose from the dead. And now he says, that power is in me. Continue reading. 11.
And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
So if you look here, he says, I want to understand the power of his resurrection, but I also want to attain this resurrection from the dead. In other words, I want to identify with Jesus in his death and is in his resurrection. So the resurrection life is what actually I'm talking about when I'm talking about the power of his resurrection, when I'm talking about the newness of life. This is the same power that Jesus had when he rose from the dead. The unlimited power of God. You will see how much that power is available to us. Continue.
Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal.
Okay. Ask your neighbor, have you arrived at your goal yet?
Have you arrived at your goal yet?
Paul says, I haven't. But what does he do?
But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
Ask your neighbor, are you pressing on?
Are you pressing on?
Or are you casual about your Christianity?
Or are you casual about your Christianity?
Press on.
What's going on?
Continue.
Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Tell your neighbor, there is a prize. There is a prize for serving God. And I'm pressing on. I'm doing my best to attain the best that God had for my life on the earth. Tell your neighbor that. I'm doing my best to attain the best of what Christ had assigned for me on this life. Tell your neighbor, we live only once. Yeah. You don't have a second chance to come and live your best. So rather do your best now and press on. Stress toward the goal to win the prize. So that then we can even come to that point when the master comes back, he will say, well done, you good and faithful servant. But why am I doing this? It's because when Christ died, he died for my sins. He died on my behalf. Actually, during the Easter time, it's something that just came funny in my mind, but I like it because it fits well with my spirit. When you see how much blood is shed on the roads and everywhere, something just said to me, but Jesus shed his blood for me. Then I said, my blood will never be shed because Jesus has shed his blood for me. Amen. Those are some of the benefits of understanding the power of his resurrection. So that you can identify with him. If you say, I died with him and I rose again. So he did it on my behalf. And now I can live in the newness of life. So if you go to Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Mr. Mukosi again, KJV, Galatians 2:20. You will hear now here that Paul puts it that we died with Christ. The fact that I identified with Christ in his death, it means now when I live for him. He died for me so that I can live for him. Tell your neighbor, he died for me.
He died for me.
So that I can live for him.
So that I can live for him.
And the good thing is that you can't live a mediocre life if you are living the life of Christ. Huh? That defeated mentality of always saying, no, it's not possible. This is too much. This is that. You don't understand the power of his resurrection. You don't understand that now you are living on behalf of Jesus because he died for us. Now listen, Galatians 2:20 KJV.
I am crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Okay. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus lives in you? Amen. Do you? If Jesus lives in you, don't you think even your language will change? Your attitude will change? If you still think things are so difficult, things are so tough, this, it means you are still living yourself. Do you think Jesus was ever in depression? Huh? Do you think he ever had stress and he was admitted to a mental institution because of depression? No. So now, if I'm living for him, if it's Christ living in me, my life is different now. Amen? Because I'm crucified with him. I identified with him in his death. So I will identify with his life in this life. So how do we live? He says, but Christ lives in me. And then the life that I'm now living, how am I living it?
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
How do we live? By faith. Whose faith are we using? Other version says by faith in the Son. But I like it in the King James because it says by the faith of. It means the faith that I'm using, whose faith is it? Jesus' faith. So if I've got the faith, the God kind of faith, if I've got the Jesus kind of faith, I cannot be defeated. Amen? Challenges will come. Things will come there on your life, but they need to be defeated. I told you, challenges will come to be resolved. Diseases will come to be healed. Problems will come, but they must be defeated. That should be your attitude. If you still talk about your own ability, then you don't understand the power of his resurrection. If you still talk like a defeated, you remember when the 12 spies went to spy the land? When God gave them a promised land, a promise for the promised land that flows with milk and honey. You remember when they came back, the 10 were saying, it's not possible. We saw the giants there. We saw the Anakims there. We were like grasshoppers. And the Bible says they made the hearts of people to melt. But what did Caleb and Joshua say? We are well able. Do I have some Calebs and Joshuas here? Amen. Amen. Say, yes, we are well able. Amen. Don't speak the language of defeat when you have the resurrection power of Jesus in you. Unless you are still living yourself. It's like the same thing that usually people say, I'm also a human being, I've got blood. The moment you say that, then you are living for yourself. But if you say, I'm crucified with Christ, it's not me living, but Jesus is living his life through me. And what Jesus did actually when he died for us on the cross. Did you know that you were supposed to be condemned because of your sin? We were all supposed to be condemned to hell because of our sin. But Jesus took the penalty and he died on our behalf. Now look at this in Colossians 2, 14 to 15, the Passion. Mr. MJ, go with us to the Passion. Colossians 2. 14 to 15, TPT. Now you will see that indeed what Jesus has done for us on the cross, it's something to celebrate about. It's something that will, if you understand that, you will never live a mediocre life. You will never live a defeated life. You will always live like a person who is victorious in Christ. The Passion, Colossians 2, 14 and 15.
He cancelled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us.
Oh, say there was a warrant of arrest for you. Tell your neighbor there was a warrant of arrest. Because of your sin, you were supposed to be penalized. And Jesus cancelled that warrant. And what did he do further?
He erased it all.
Mm-hmm.
Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved.
Hey, it looks like load shedding. So, by the way, there was this thing they say that the devil was working on something and Jesus was working on something and then power went off on computer and then the devil lost everything and Jesus still had everything. They asked why. They said, no, Jesus saves. So it's not for that saving. Here, he erased everything that was against me. To an extent that you know when something is deleted and it cannot be retrieved. It's like you've worked the whole night, but there's nothing now. So imagine the devil has made his case strong against you. Prepared everything. Says, no, this one even committed abortion. This one even murdered somebody. This one committed adultery. This one is a fornicator. This one is a drunkard. And the devil thinks he's got his case. Now, you come to the cross. It says, what did Jesus do? He erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all. And they cannot be retrieved. That's why we have that song. Wanyamalala. And in Venda they say, Wongarangara. Waro wazivizwanga. Aucha wonara. Now you think I can't celebrate? Where I'm given a chance to start afresh, it's deleted. Amen. Continue.
Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation.
Hey. So I like what Jesus did. Do you know that when the devil wants to embarrass you, he embarrasses you publicly? The devil will make a public spectacle of you if you think he's your friend. Okay? Now it says Jesus, he also made a public show when he embarrassed the devil. Amen? That's why even you, when you have a testimony and God has done something for you, come and embarrass him publicly. Yeah, because when he has done something on your life against you, he embarrasses you publicly. So when you have a victory, why don't you embarrass him publicly? It says Jesus made a public show of defeating the enemy. Continue.
Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross.
You see what power? There is another power. By the power of the cross.
Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his.
Yeah. You are not a victim. You are a victor. Tell your neighbor you are not a victim. You are more than a conqueror. Because if Jesus, what Jesus was doing on the cross, he was doing it on my behalf. When he embarrassed the devil, he was doing it on my behalf. And I must maintain that victory. That is the resurrection life that we're talking about. That is because of his love. So if you look at this love, go to Ephesians chapter 3. 14 to 21. Continue in the Passion, Mr. MJ. It's Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Now, I want you to understand this resurrection life because of his love and what we have in Jesus. Okay, let me ask you this question. Have you ever seen this pastor stressed? This one in front of you? Huh? So you think God is just so good to him that he does not face problems? Huh? No. He faces problem like you, like Jesus, but he just knows how to put the devil under his feet. Problems are there to be defeated. How do you become a champion without fighting? So it means some of those obstacles, some of those things that the enemy is bringing against you to torment your life, see it as an opportunity to demonstrate the power of God. I like Jesus' attitude. You remember Jesus whenever there was a challenge, Lazarus sick, almost dying, and Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death. And he says he saw that the power of God will be seen. And he went and demonstrated God's power. The man who was born blind, the disciples asked, who sinned that this man is born blind? He said, no, no one sinned. But this was so that the power of God can be demonstrated. So ask your neighbor, what is your problem? Don't tell me, but just think about your problem. Now tell your neighbor, that problem is there so that you can demonstrate the power of God on it. Amen. In other words, that problem is like your punching bag. You know, boxers, they need something to punch. Okay? So that problem is there, and use your faith to overcome that problem. Then you will have a testimony. So look at this. Mr. MJ, tell us how deep this love is, because Paul even prayed that we must understand this love.
Mm.
Because if you understand this love and you know that I'm actually the beloved of my Father, I'm loved by my Father. Mm. Eh? Do you know that God loves me? Mm. But he loves you also.
Mm.
And you don't have to queue in a line and say, no, the pastor will get it first, then I'll get it second, and that one will get it third. No, God is omnipotent and omnipresent. We can all be on the first line. Mm. We can all be first with God.
Mm.
Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, the passion.
So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus.
Okay, I kneel humbly in awe. So today is the first Sunday of the month. You know what happens the first Sunday of the month in our church?
Yes.
It's prayer time without even looking at the time. Which means I'm going to get time to kneel before my Father. Mm. Without being concerned about time. Continue.
The perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. And I pray that he will unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power.
So just repeat from until the explosive power, and that is the power that is available to you.
Until supernatural strength,
yes,
floods your innermost being,
yes,
with his divine might,
yeah,
and explosive power.
So tell your neighbor, I'm fully loaded.
I am fully loaded
with the explosive power of God in my inner being. Now, when you have that explosive power, imagine you've got a dynamite. So you need an object to exercise your power on, isn't it? Mm. And that's your problem.
Yes.
That problem is an object of God's explosive power in you. Because you have to see how that power works, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I like small children when they grow up. Small children usually like testing things. So if you had given a child, if you ever give a child a dynamite, and you leave that child alone, many things you will find them being blown away. Why? Because the child wants to test and prove the power of a dynamite.
Yeah.
So for you, the explosive power, it says you are flooded with that explosive power in your inner being.
Mm.
And now I need an object to explode on.
Amen.
Let not your power explode over people. That's not our warfare.
Yeah.
We don't fight with people.
Yes.
Okay? So use the explosive power of God over all the works of the enemy. You know the scripture that says, for this cause was the Son of Man manifested, the Son of God manifested, Jesus. And what was the cause? To destroy the works of the devil. You know that verse?
Yes.
Yeah, in 1 John. It says, for this cause, in other words, Jesus came to do what? To destroy the works of the enemy. So I'm continuing with that mission. Do you join me? Can we continue with the mission of destroying the works of the devil? Destroying the works of the devil in our families? Destroying the works of the devil even in our bodies? So it means when the enemy is tormenting me with sickness, that sickness needs to meet its match with the power, the explosive power from within me. Okay? So use that because of his love. Continue.
Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you.
You see how the life of Jesus is released?
Mm-hmm.
How is it released?
By using our faith.
By constantly using our faith. Mm. So when I'm constantly using my faith, I'm releasing the power, the explosive power.
Mm-hmm. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and the root of your life.
Yeah.
Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences.
What do holy people experience? Read it for us, Mr. MJ. What do they experience?
The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions.
Hey, that's what we experience. Yeah. The great magnitude of his love in all its dimensions. Mm. The love of Jesus. Wonderful, the love of Jesus. Wonderful, the love of Jesus. He's so wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. It is so high. It is so low. It is so wide. Oh, wonderful love. You see that power? You see that love? You cannot go anywhere where the love of God cannot reach you. Continue.
How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love?
Yeah.
Mm. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God.
Hey, people, are you understanding this? Are you understanding what this love is doing? It fills me so much that until I'm overflowing, not with soapies, but with the fullness of God. Okay? So that's why you've got to be careful what you are hearing. Some of you express, you are always exposing yourself to a lot of things that do not benefit you. But if you can always feed yourself with the power of God, the power of God, the love of God, the love of God, then you will be overflowing with the fullness of God. Continue.
Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this.
Mm.
He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request.
Hey, people, are you understanding these things like me?
Mm.
Huh? It sounds too good to be true, isn't it? And that's why God had to seal it in a covenant. So when you were celebrating last week about the death and the resurrection of our Lord, we were also celebrating the covenant. In the covenant, you know the covenant is like this. When God came to Abraham and he promised him so many things that he was going to do for him, and Abraham was saying, how shall I know? And then God cut a covenant with him. And when God cuts a covenant, he's saying it's sealed. Even if it sounds too good to be true, let's take a simple example. Take somebody, maybe a lady who is very poor, and then is proposed by maybe a man who is very rich, and a faithful man for that matter, because there are some men who are rich but not faithful. A faithful man for that matter. At first, that lady would be thinking, really? Really? But imagine what happens on the day of the wedding. when he puts the ring on her, she knows it's now sealed. Okay? So now, these things look so good to be true, but Jesus, God sealed them. When he cut a covenant with us, when Jesus died on the cross and the covenant was cut, Jesus is saying, even if it sounds too good to be true, it's sealed. So now read those extra words.
He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request.
So it means don't be mediocre in your thinking. Tell your neighbor, don't be mediocre in your thinking. Because if you will exceed your greatest request, then think big. Continue.
Your most unbelievable dream.
Do you have some dreams?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't discourage people with dreams. You know, there are people who will tell you, we're going to do this, and they tell you an unbelievable dream. Huh? Yeah, we live in that. I'm even looking at what's happening on the western side here where we are. And you will see when that thing is finished, this street will be changed. Why? Because people with visions are here. Amen. Make a difference in life. Amen. Even your wildest dreams, even in your own individual life, don't allow your dream to be killed. By the way, there are people around you who can kill your dream. If they can't kill your dream, they will try to kill you, like what happened with Joseph. But do you know if a dream is God-inspired, it cannot be killed, and you cannot be killed before your dream is manifested? You know, when the brothers of Joseph thought they were, you remember when they said, this dreamer, let's kill him, and we will see what will become of his dream. What do you think they were thinking? They were thinking, if we kill him, we have killed his dream. But how many of you know that what they were doing was actually promoting his dream? He had to be sold to Egypt so that he can become a ruler there and they can go and bow to him there. Amen? So the enemy, sometimes some of the things that the devil is doing against your life, it's for your advantage. Because Joseph said, I think it's Genesis 50, I think around verse 20, he said, you intended to do me harm when you sold me away to Egypt. But God has made this situation for the good. Look where we are today. Amen. So it means even those things that the enemy is throwing against you, intending to do you harm, all those obstacles, let them be turned into stepping stones. Amen. And you can only have that if your wildest dreams, your wildest imagination, you know, I'm in this with God. God is on my side. God has decided, he stands with me. Continue.
And exceed your wildest imagination.
Okay. How wild your imagination? Do some of you ever dream to be a millionaire? Huh? Continue to dream. Because God is able to do beyond those dreams. So God needs something to work with. Huh? So give God something. Give your faith something. Now, if you only go with what you can, you know, some people, you are usually limited because you think of your abilities. Your abilities are so limited. I always even think about this. It's like some of us in our jobs, what we earn is usually just a seed. It's not enough to do my dreams. Amen? I mean, what you earn is probably not enough to get you where you want to get, isn't it? Yeah. So it means my faith will get me where I want to get, but this is just a seed. Okay? Yeah. And God will do it in many other ways. And money should look for me. Amen? Yeah, things just start working out and you just find favors. Huh? Because God is with me. Because my wildest imaginations, my wildest dreams, I'm not limited by my salary. I'm not limited. Imagine people who don't work. Have you ever wondered? People who don't work, they are also surviving. Old age people who only earns 2,000, they are also surviving. They go to the end of the month. Some of you, you've got 10,000, you survive. Some of you, 40, you survive. Some of you, 70, you survive. Some of you, 120, you survive. Amen. So let your faith carry you through. Amen. Continue.
He will outdo them all.
Ah. So, Mr. MJ, it's good that you are the one reading this because you like all these extravagant words. So, he will outdo them all.
Mm-hmm. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you.
Mm.
Now, we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen.
Amen. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So if his power, if he can outdo them all, why am I now limiting myself in my thinking? The devil is the one who's making you think small. Because he wants you to remain there. And some of you, even after God has set you free, you are still bound in your mind. I once heard this. Yeah, it's like a psychological thing. They say a goat was tied with a rope. Okay? And this goat would go like this. And when it reaches here, the rope keeps it back. Then it knows it can't go beyond here. Then it would go this way. When it reaches here, it's tied. It knows it can't go beyond here. Goes that way. When it reaches there, it can't go beyond there. That happened for quite a long time. They say one time the owner came and untied or cut off that cord that was binding the goat. Now look at the mentality of the goat, which is the mentality of some of you after Jesus has set you free. Now it's remaining here. So some of you are already set free, but your mind is still bound. So instead of you going beyond, you move. When you come here, your mind tells you, that's your limit. You've reached your limit. You've reached your limit. So it means your mind is binding you like that rope. Tell your neighbor, the rope is broken, is torn. You are loose. You are free. Go for your wildest imaginations with God. Exercise your faith. Now, go to Romans chapter 8. Now, Mr. MJ will continue in the message. Romans 8, 11 to 17, the message translation. I want you to look at this resurrection power. And sometimes you will think, Pastor, but you tell us all these things. And you tell it to us as if you are arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant. I'm just telling you what God has said. Do you know that people of this world, the world wants you to talk defeat? Did you know that? Did you know that if you ask me how I'm doing and I say, hey, life is tough, man, life is tough. Do you know that the devil doesn't bother with such statement, he likes it? Huh? Have you ever realized when somebody asks you, how are you? And you say, hey, things are difficult, my brother. You've qualified. The devil won't question anything about that. But if you say, they know even at my work, even highest level of the Department of Health, because I'm part of them, if they ask me, how am I? I tell them, I'm blessed, highly favored, and recommended for more blessings. One of them laughed and said, oh, so it's getting worse. If you think I'm blessed, I'm recommended for more. Is that not Deuteronomy 28? All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. as you diligently hearken the voice of the Lord your God. So that should be your attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Amen. So let's go. Romans 8, 11 to 17, the message.
It stands to reason, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. What stands to reason, Mr. MJ?
That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life.
Hey, people, are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
It says it stands to reason. If God moves into your life, just try to reason that. Mm. Imagine God moving into your life.
Mm.
Something should happen, isn't it?
Yes.
It stands to reason.
Mm.
If this God, if his resurrection power can move in here, yes, it will never be the same. Things will never be the same.
Amen.
Continue to read us. What will happen if it moves here?
Mm. He'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus.
Ah.
Yeah.
Say ah.
Ah.
It means you've been limiting yourself.
Yeah.
Because you've been listening to the wrong sources.
Yeah.
Mm. Continue.
Bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ.
I like that one. I like that one. With the Spirit of God living in me, how will my body live? Yeah, it will be alive as Christ's body. Yeah. Therefore, sickness has got no hold over this body. When the enemy will try, but I'll keep on speaking my faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's the weapons of my warfare. I keep on fighting. The problem is that even if you don't fight and you keep on talking defeat, the devil won't leave you. So you can as well fight. You can as well exercise your faith. Amen. Continue.
So don't you see that we don't owe this old do it yourself life one red cent? There is nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life.
So there's a new life. So bury that old thing, man. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, bury that old thing. Yeah. Bury that old way of life.
Yeah.
Bury that old way of thinking.
Yes.
And get on with your new life. The resurrection life.
The resurrection life.
Amen.
Amen.
Continue.
God's spirit beckons. Yeah. There are things to do and places to go.
Yeah. Tell your neighbor, there are things to do. And there are still places to go. Yes.
Mm.
Watch me.
Yeah.
There are things to do and there are still places to go. Mm-hmm.
This resurrection life you receive from God
You see now the life that you received.
Mm.
That power of his resurrection that the elder was telling you about, I've received that kind of life.
Mm.
That's why I'm not timid.
Yeah.
What is this resurrection life that we receive from God?
It is not timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant.
Oh, it's adventurously expectant.
Mm.
In other words, it's like somebody is living in me, man. Somebody, it's not me now.
Yeah.
Have you ever lived your faith out that people ended up saying you are out of your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, live to that extent where people see, no, it can't be you. There is something in you. There is something in you that's living this supernatural life. That's giving you such boldness, such confidence.
Greeting God with a childlike greeting.
How do we greet him?
What's next, Papa? Hey.
What's next, Papa? I mean, there are many things coming, man. They are unfolding.
Yeah.
What next, Papa?
Mm.
What's the next assignment?
Wow.
What's the next challenge to be defeated?
Mm.
Yes, I've got this explosive power.
Yeah.
Mm. Is it sickness? Is it that? Is it that? But we've got what it takes to win.
Yeah. Wow.
Continue.
God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. And we know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children.
Hey, I like this company. Paziri, I think Mr. Paziri, you're here today. Yeah, I like Paziri and Sons. They've got bus company, and they would say Paziri and Sons. So now this one says Father and
children.
Imagine I'm in the same company with God. They say Father and children. Yeah. Whatever is mine. I'm in good company. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm in good company. Yeah. And that is the resurrection life that we need to live. Continue.
And we know we are going to get what's coming to us. An unbelievable inheritance.
Yes, that's why it says we are joint heirs with Christ.
Mm.
There are many things that we are just like Christ. So all the inheritance that God has prepared before the foundation of the earth, He wants me to enjoy it. Amen. And I will enjoy it. Mm. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Imagine David living in the old covenant, and he knows that God can prepare a table before me and feed me in the presence of my enemy. Continue.
We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we are certainly going to go through the good, non-delicious times with Him.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you go through hard times with Him, if you go through those challenges, you are challenged with that, just know that this is just a precursor of something good coming. Amen. Yeah, it's just a precursor of something good that's coming. Because when I look at this, I get excited. This is actually what motivated me to write the third book. By the way, it takes a long time to write a book, so we're still busy. But it's things like this where you start seeing actually what the enemy thought it's supposed to bring me back, take me down. That's actually what God will use to lift me up. So I don't mind the problems. I don't mind the challenges because I've got a dynamite. I'm going to use what I have to resolve those problems. So if you go to 1 John chapter 3, Mr. Mkosi, 1 John chapter 3, 1 to 3 in the message, now you will understand that 1 John 3, 1 to 3 message, you will understand that because of this love that we are now called children of God, it's an amazing love. Imagine, okay, if it was just in this world, don't you think that the world, the way that this world is so crooked, if it was up to people who should be children of God and who shouldn't, don't you think other races would have thought that they should be the ones who are children of God and others shouldn't be? I'm talking about the crooked world. You know the crooked world that I'm talking about. Huh? But now look, God Himself, whether you are in deep Africa, whether you are in affluent Western countries, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a child of God. You get that diplomatic title, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, when we were away last week, we passed via Joburg and we saw our daughters. One of them, she was asking me about the mission. She said, Daddy, do you ever think of going on a mission, missionary and all that, missionary work and all that? Because sometimes people usually think of missionary going deep into Africa and all that and all that. I said to her, yes, I do. But differently from what people think missionary is. Because people think a missionary must move from America to Africa. This missionary will move from Africa to those countries. Amen. Preaching the gospel. Amen. Because with God, we are children of God. There are no classes with God. If I'm a child of God, I've got the first, when you've got this first ticket in a bus or in a train, I've got first class ticket. Yes, I'm not a second class citizen with God. And look at 1 John 3:1-3 message.
What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it.
Oh, just look at it. Okay, we are looking, Mr. Mkosi, tell us.
We're called children of God.
Ah.
That's who we really are.
Is it? Ask your neighbor, is it?
Is it?
Huh? Yeah. So when I say I'm a child of God, is that pride?
No.
Huh? Because some of you say, no, this your pastor is very arrogant. He's very proud. He talks as if he's God. That's what they did to Jesus. You remember when Jesus said he was the Son of God? That's what made them crucify him.
Amen.
They said that's blasphemy. How can you, being a mere man, claim to be God? And how did Jesus answer them? He said, is it not written in your law? And the scriptures cannot be broken. Those who had received him, he called them gods.
Amen.
So he was making it worse. He says, we are gods. And the scriptures cannot be broken.
Amen.
So I speak like a God because I have my God. And his nature is manifested through my life. Continue.
But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously.
Yeah. The world sometimes doesn't. And sometimes they don't take us seriously, isn't it? They take us light. But they will see the results. Continue.
Because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, exactly who we are, children of God, and that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we will know is when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him. And in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look towards coming to his coming, stay ready with glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own.
You see the kind of life I live when I'm waiting for the Lord's coming? Jesus has already set a model. I'm going to live that glistering life modeled after Christ. It means, beside the victory that I'm talking about, I will also live a pure life because I'm a child of God. I live a holy life because I'm a child of God. I cannot entertain sin because I'm precious before God. Amen. Don't you like it to have a pastor who doesn't have scandals? Yeah. And your people also want you not to have scandals. Even your children. Some of you are an embarrassment even to your families. Don't do that. Amen. Because the things you do, they don't only affect you. They also affect those who esteem you highly. Some of you, sometimes we say something and you speak and we think, were you in church? Did you really? Were you sleeping maybe when the pastor was preaching? Because the way you're speaking. Guard your heart. And load yourself with what God has said. Amen. So let's prepare to land. We've been cruising, isn't it? Yeah, we've got to prepare to land. Mr. MJ, can we land with Romans chapter 8? I want to show you something now. Romans chapter 8 from verse 29 to 39 in the Passion, TPT. Now you will see how passionately Paul shows us this love of God. And in the love of God, there are things beyond our imagination. There are things which would make you think, I've been living a mediocre life. I've been thinking like people of the world. I've been having a grasshopper mentality. And now after this message, no more grasshopper mentality. I've got the mind of Christ. I've got the fullness of God in me. I do things like a heavenly ambassador. So Mr. MJ, tell us, Romans 8, 29 to 39, the Passion, TPT.
For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. This means the son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time.
Oh, I like that. When was my destiny determined?
Ahead of time.
So it means when my enemies think. So those of you who say, oh, I don't know, people are standing on my way. If it's not for my what, I would be far by now. They are standing. No, as for me, my destiny was determined when?
Ahead of time.
I know the end result. I know where I'm going. It doesn't matter the obstacles along the way. The enemy trying to push that and that and that. I'm still determined. Because my destiny is set. Can you tell your neighbor, my destiny is determined already.
Is determined already.
And it's a great destiny.
And it's a great
destiny. Great future.
Because
the Lord says, I know the thoughts. That I have for you.
Thoughts
not of evil.
Not
to harm you.
Not to harm.
But to give you
to keep a
good and an expected future.
A good and an expected future.
That's where I'm going.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He has determined before time. And actually in Jeremiah even said, the Lord knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. So my destiny is not dependent on my neighbor.
Yeah.
My promotion doesn't depend on my employers.
Amen.
I've got a heavenly connection.
Amen.
They will fight in the boardroom and speak for me.
Amen.
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 Because God is on my side.
Amen.
So he has determined our destiny ahead of time. So now because you're listening a lot to people, they will keep on pushing you down. They will keep on telling you why things are impossible. They will keep on telling you why you will always fail. They will keep on telling you why you should enjoy that life of defeat. But I'm telling you what God is saying. So my destiny has been determined ahead of time. Continue.
He called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his son. So, what does all this mean?
Okay, this is a good way to land the buoy. Okay? I told you, cabin crew, prepare for landing.
Yes.
So he says, what does all this mean? Even from when the pastor started telling you, even from when the elder started telling you about the resurrection life, even whatever we were sharing the other week, even Pastor Josephine was encouraging us on that. All those things, what does it all mean really? Mr. MJ, what does it mean?
If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us?
Do you know some of you keep on saying, hey, but bakonyimandira, tidivurundova chinyane. I don't know, they are standing on my way. I don't know what wrong have I done to them. Yeah, they are standing on your way because you don't know who you are in Christ. You remember I told you before, I've got problem with Christians who get bewitched. It's me. I didn't say the scriptures. Because the ones who are bewitching you, they are using the tools of the enemy. You have the explosive power. You know, this thing, when I was thinking about it, it's also partly in the book that will be coming. I thought about Abner. We were talking about when we were coming back. Not Abner that one, but Abner in the Bible. How he died. And how David cried his death. He said, Abner, why did you die like a fool as if your hands were tied? Why? Because David was so confident that Abner is a fighter. Abner cannot be defeated. Abner cannot be killed if he doesn't want to be killed. Then he said, why did you die like a fool? Your hands were not tied. I knew you could have fought if you needed to. Don't you think a lot of Christians are dying that way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if your hands are tied. But you have the explosive power, and you die with the explosive power in your hand. Use it. Use the power that you have. Call out on the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are safe. Amen. Continue.
For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son.
Yeah, how great, because of his love. All this is because of his love. Continue. Mm.
And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Mm. Whom then will dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them.
What is the verdict, Mr. MJ?
Not guilty.
Hey, people, are you getting this? I mean, imagine God himself being the judge and he issues a final verdict, not guilty. It doesn't matter what your neighbors and all those people that are keeping on thinking what you did 10 years ago. The Lord has declared you not guilty. Because of the blood of Jesus, you are cleansed. You are a child of God. He has declared you not guilty. Yes, you can enjoy yourself, Miss Mudau.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. He declared me not guilty. Mm. Now, I speak like the righteousness of God in Christ. Unfortunately, those of you who don't know who you are, you come to us here and say, no, brethren, I'm not any good. We are all just sinners and all that and all that. You don't know that. If you don't know me, just keep quiet. Don't call all of us into your life of defeat. Yeah, it's the same attitude I have with these evolution guys who says we come from monkeys and that. If they come from monkeys, I won't argue with them. But I don't come from there. That's easy. Some of you waste your time arguing with them. No, we come from, you see, we're Homo sapiens. We started like this. Say, okay. That's why you speak like that. Don't tell them that. So, obviously, if they are saying something and you know it's not you, they don't speak for me. I'm a child of God. I've got God's nature in me. Amen. I'm created in the image of God. Amen. God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make them in our likeness. They should be like us. And let them have dominion on the earth. Yeah. So when you are still enjoying your evolution and you're looking at your grand opas and grand ancestors, I'm looking at my great promises. Amen. How these precious promises. I've got so many promises here, but I keep on looking at them. When he says not guilty, I say yes, sir. Continue.
Whom then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one. For he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph?
You see, the people who are condemning you, they are not used by God. The devil is the accuser. People who are condemning others, people who keep on taking others down, they are doing the works of the enemy.
Who could ever divorce us from the endless love of God's anointed one?
Hey, I like this. You may be divorced in the natural, but do you know that you cannot be divorced from the love of God?
Amen.
His anointed one. Because God's love, unlike people's love, you know, we talk about Eros, which is the romantic love. We talk about phileo, which is the affection love, like between relatives and all that. And then we've got storgia. And then we've got another kind of love called agape, which is called the unconditional love of God. God loves you without a condition. People of the world usually love you as long as you are still lovable. But we need to be like God. Our eros, our stoge, our filial love should be based on the agape kind of love. That's why the Bible says love never fails. Agape never fails. So it says we cannot be divorced from his love. Wow. Repeat that and continue.
Who could ever divorce us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecution, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all important to hinder impotent love. Even though it is written.
No, it's they are all impotent. They don't have potency.
Yes.
To hinder the omnipotent love. The potent, the ever potent love. So repeat that. Because they are all impotent. They don't have potency.
No.
To hinder the omnipotent, the ever potent, the most powerful, the carabulating. Continue.
Hey, tantangulating. No, for they are all important to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God. We are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered.
Okay. So it's like the threats are always there. Tell your neighbor, the threats are always there.
The threats are always there.
So, but what? In the middle of all that.
Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all.
Hey, all those, think about all those threats, all those things. You are more than a conqueror. Continue.
For God has made us to be more than conquerors. And his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now, I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I am convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One.
Can we all say amen? Amen. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
That's explosive, isn't it? I like this. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In other words, you have to think like Christ. Don't be bogged down like people of the world because of his love. So in other words, the Father loved me so much that sometimes people of the world think that I'm spoiled. Even the devil thinks so. I said, the Father loves me so much that sometimes people of the world think I'm spoiled. Even the devil thinks so. Because even where the devil was supposed to win, the Father gives me the victory. And that's why we say favor is unfair. It's because we are spoiled. Even where you made a mistake and you were supposed to be punished, the mercy of God comes in and say, we love him so much that we will deny him the punishment that he deserves. That's mercy. Mercy rewrote my life. We sang that when we began. So it means with mercy, I could start in a new slate. Do you understand now, because of his love, what is available to you? Are you going to live in the fullness of his love? Some of you are living as if you are second-class citizens. We are no longer foreigners. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We are children. We are of the household of God. Amen.